Well, good morning. Turn to Genesis chapter 2. We're in the fourth week of this mini-series. And don't be alarmed, Pastor is in the house. This is just my turn at this series we're doing on the Christian home, the Christian family. Let me find my lesson. So far, you know, we've been very blessed. Pastor started this out with in Genesis, talking how God originally set this institution of the home up and put, when he sets up an institution, he doesn't just set up an authority, he puts like somebody in charge of it, okay? And we went through that, put the man to rule and in charge of that institution. And so I drew the short stick and I get to talk, you knew we were going to get here sooner or later. And we're not going to be talking about children today, so we've talked about the man, and we haven't talked about children yet, so I get to talk about the woman. But be alarmed. Don't shut your Bible. If you're not a woman in here, there's plenty here for you. It's a huge, huge deal. If you are a woman here and you're not married, it's still for you. If you're a child still under your father's headship, it's still for you. This Bible fits everybody in here, and this lesson does too. So I urge you to just listen. And my only disclaimer is I didn't write the book, folks. I didn't do it. And God knows I don't have enough sense to barely read it, much less write it, okay? So we'll start off with a little prayer and see if we can get God involved in this. Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for the folks that have showed up here this morning with a Bible, and they've come here. I pray they've come here to learn something from you or be reassured of something they already knew or maybe be something be pointed out to them that maybe they need to do or quit doing. I pray that you'll have the liberty in this room this morning to be able to accomplish that work, and I pray that I don't get in the way of it. I pray that you'll make the things that are said, the scriptures that are referenced, are very, very simple and very easy to be understood. And I know that's the work of the Holy Spirit, and I surely pray that he has full liberty in this room to do a work. Father, help me. Help me with this lesson. Help us all to be better for it. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 2, we're just going to look at a couple of verses here. Look in verse 18. Genesis 2:18, the Bible says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. Now watch this. I will make him an help meet for him." A help meet for him. And that's the thing that we're going to discuss and look at during this lesson is the woman is created right there. We can go down to verse 21. "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept and took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman, and he brought her unto the man." And so the Lord created woman or a woman to be a help meet for the man. Not a help meet, a help meet for the man, meaning a help that is suited for, a help that is maybe a perfect match or a fit for the man, or even it can go as far as being a help that is qualified for the man. And so that's an important part in parentheses here. If you're not married here today, if you're not willing to be this help meet for that man, you got no business even thinking about that man. And a lot of you, we're going to go through this lesson today, and you're going to go, "Say what?" And I didn't marry him, you did. And so, or I didn't marry her, you know, you did. And so these things, that's why we got a combined class, because truly, I wish, I don't want to go back and redo it, but if I had to, I would love to have had a Sunday school and a church like this that opened the Bible and told me what God said way before I decided to do it different, okay? There's some help here for every one of us. So the direction we're going to go is a help meet for him. And I'm going to give you, if you want to, that's your purpose, ladies, is to be a help meet for him. And I said it fits everyone, because if you're still a young lady under your father's headship, all these points are going to fit you too. You should be a help meet for him. And that's the way God's designed this thing. God designed, well, you can go ahead and start turning there. Turn to Romans 13. God designed and created three institutions. The first point that I want, if you're taking notes, the first point is you need to focus on your husband, talking to the ladies, you need to focus on your husband's divine position. You go, oh, wait a minute. Divine position? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And sirs? Yes, sir. When I was putting this together, I was seeing what the Lord would show me, and he showed me a lot, okay? God has set up three positions, three institutions. The first one's the state, Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject. You know, we've heard subject, submission, all the obedience, all those words the last 3 weeks. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. Look at this. The powers that be are ordained of God. Okay, so the government, the authorities that we have, God has got his hand on those things. Okay, now that's a scary thought, but he's in control of every bit of it. The other institution that God has ordained or started is the church. You're part of that. We have a church, and just like he put, well, in Romans chapter 13, look at this. He says down here in verse 4, talking about the rulers of this power, the state that he's put in front of us. He said, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. You see, God set up an institution, and he set up a ruler or someone in authority. You get it? He set up the church as an institution, and he's put someone in authority of it. And I told you, he's in the house. It's our pastor. Okay, and the Bible speaks of him in several different ways, and it's a whole other lesson, but he's called an elder, and that could speak to his maturity, and not necessarily age, but spiritual maturity. Okay, he's an elder. He's called a bishop in Timothy, and that pertains to maybe some of his functions, the things that he should do. Pastors are considered shepherds, right? That's some of their responsibilities. But turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Once again, God has set up an institution, and he has put a ruler or an authority over it. The state has ministers of God for our good. They're ordained of God. Pastors are put in a place. And in Hebrews 13, 17, we're told to obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. One day, pastor's going to have to, well, one day, pretty much every day, he has to give an account for his under-shepherdship. He's a under-shepherd of this congregation, and he's accountable for the souls that are in this room right now. And you can make that a joy to him, or you can make that a grief. Okay? So, we've got three institutions I said that God set up. The first one being the state, and he put rulers that he ordained over that. He set up a church, and he's got a ruler that he's ordained over that. Well, you know where I'm going. He created the home. Pastor did the first lesson on that. And who did he put over that? Were y'all there? Did you get the tape? Well, then you need to say it loud enough so that the mic will pick it up for the people that are listening to the lesson. Okay, I'm going to try it again now. Who did God put over the home? One more time. Okay, I think y'all heard that. It's the man. And God did this, okay? Pastor didn't decide to teach this doctrine. or make it up. God has put this thing into place. And so God does this. There's a reason. It's very simple. God sets up an institution and he puts somebody in charge of it so that you can have unity and harmony. Right? Because this disorder thing is not part of God. Everything's done in order, okay? And so he does it so you'll have harmony and unity. Now, I could take a dog and a cat right now in the pulpit, and I could tie their tails together, okay? And you know what we'd accomplish? We would accomplish unity, but how many of you think we'd have much harmony in that? Okay? Now, you can stand before a JP or a pastor and have the legal paperwork and get a knot tied there that is called a marriage. Okay? And you can have unity until one of y'all gets mad and goes and gets a lawyer. And you cannot have harmony, correct? So it's very important. God has set this up so that one is in charge of this family, of this union. And so God has appointed leaders. And this accomplishes his unity and harmony. Are we all together? Okay. The world so far, and continues to do it, well, you know, this point was the husband's divine position. God has set this up. The world has done everything in its power to set it, to minimize it. We've talked many times about how television and things have taken any sitcom or any TV show, the husband in the sitcom is the idiot. And he's the one, and the wife is running the show either in front of him or behind his back so that he's a little puppet. And this is just the common accepted way. And it's not God's way. It's not God's way. Turn to a verse that you're familiar with, 1 Peter. You're in Hebrews, just flip over to 1 Peter chapter 3. There's a context here in verse 1. It says, likewise, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Okay, so we've got a context going. Now look down here in verse 5. For after this matter, in old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. Look at this. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Now, I know every woman has read that and just snickered, if that's a word. Okay? And every man has read that and kicked back his heels and said, man, wouldn't that be great? You know, in this context, I'm going to tell you what. She is acknowledging his position, not the man. Okay, this was thousands of years ago. And she was acknowledging, by calling him Lord, she was acknowledging this divine position that he had as being the husband and the father of this family. You follow, I'm not getting a bunch of follow me's on that. You follow me that? She wasn't recognizing Abraham as Lord. She was recognizing the position. And boy, have we went a ways from there till today, okay? It's a fact that we've lost sight today. We, man and woman, have lost sight that this husband and wife situation, the man has been given a divine position in that household to be the authority, and the woman has been given the divine position as a meet help for him. You get it? You know, the same God that we all know and we profess to love and we pray to, this same God, didn't he create a temple, even a tabernacle in the wilderness? And he made a lot of laws and rules about that. And he was down to the detail of the curtains and the colors and the everything. And he made a holy place and a holy of holies. And he put a veil between the two. And the high priest could go into that holy of holies, right? How many of y'all, if that thing was sitting in the parking lot today, now think about this, how many of y'all would go outside, walk through the holies, check it out, pull out the iPhone, rip the veil back, and take a few shots for your Pinterest page of the ark and the cherubims? How many of y'all do that? Not a one. Why? You wouldn't want to disobey God's authority, correct? But husband and wife, man and woman, when we're not running our families like this book said, you're doing exactly the same thing. There's not a one of you if the ark was being pushed by a cart in the driveway and you saw it wiggle. How many of y'all run out there and try to put your hand on it and keep it from falling off? No, you've read your Bible, right? But on the other hand, you'll disregard what God wrote about how family should run. We all got to get our thinking together because this is a divine position. Here's the fact. Here's the problem. Wives lack the faith in God to work in the heart of their husband and through him to them. Brother Benny was here a year or so ago, and he made this real clear that a woman's position is to, we say a woman should be in subjection and obey her husband. In reality, the woman is being in subjection to her husband and obeying God and trusting her husband, God, to work through her husband to her. You get that little scenario? And when you don't do that, what you're doing is what Tony preached on last week. You don't have the faith to believe that that idiot is going to do you any good. And you got to do it yourself. I'm paraphrasing. Okay? And I just put my big fat finger on the main problem. Okay? Here's where it fails. Failure of the husband to meet the wife's expectations and the apparent absence at the time of God in the situation causes the woman to disregard the husband's divine position, and it's proof positive that their faith in God is lacking. Does that make sense? It's the truth. It's the truth. Let me give you another example. Ladies, on the way to church this morning, you're driving. A police officer's lights come on, and he pulls you over. He walks up to the car, you roll down the window, and he says, "I need to see your driver's license and your insurance." And for the next 45 minutes, you stumble through your purse and you find it. That's a joke. And then you give him your license and insurance, correct? And you pretty much do that without question. And you don't know the officer. Why do you think, without question, to a perfect stranger, he gives you something to do and you do it immediately? It's because you're obeying a higher authority. When you hand your stuff, you're not obeying him per se, although you are, you're in subjection to him, but you're doing it not because you even know this guy. You're doing it because there's a higher power that you're... Shake your head. You know exactly what I'm saying. And so, even if you were coming to church this morning and that officer comes up there and gets to the window and he says, "I pulled you over for speeding," and you were not speeding. You had the cruise on at 5 miles an hour less than the speed limit. And he says, "I pulled you over speeding," and you said, "You're wrong," shut the door, and drove off. How many of y'all would do that? Of course you wouldn't. But when your husband says something at home or something, and you look at him and says, "You're wrong," and you go ahead and do what you're doing, there's a problem there. There's a problem there. And it's not, I don't have the problem with it. God has the problem with it. All God is asking you to do, ladies, is to be in submission to your husband because he is under a divine God and he has been given a divine position, and you are to obey him in the process of obeying God. So you're obeying God through him. Does that make sense? The problem is, here's the other scenario. Here's what really happens. You're driving to church. The officer comes up to the window and pulls you over, and you go, "Sammy, I taught you in third grade. How are you doing? How's your parents? We know the guy. And so now we start to disregard what he says. And we start to disregard who he represents. And that's the problem in most of our families. I know that most every woman in this room wants to obey the Lord. And God says you need to do that through your husband. Okay, first point. Did y'all like that? Yeah. Focus on your husband's divine position if you truly want to be a help meet for him. Make sense? Second point. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. If you want to be a help meet for him, which that's what you were created for, then point number two needs to be you minister to your husband's greatest needs. That's not too far-fetched. I think it's quite reasonable myself. Minister to your husband's greatest needs. Ephesians 5:21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You know, that refers to both men and women submitting to the needs of your mate. Doesn't that? Doesn't that make sense? Doesn't that make dinner a lot easier at home? Yeah, sure it does. So I'll tell you right now, this ministering to your husband's greatest needs, he has three that I wrote down, greatest needs. And if you want to write these down, in case you don't know them, they may be a help. Your husband's three greatest needs. Number one is to be followed. That doesn't mean hire a PI, okay? No, his divine position and position of authority. And I mean, God really spoke to me because I didn't take this near as seriously as I should be, okay? I understand the fear of leading and guiding my house and my kids and my wife, but this has put a whole nother level on it. This is a divine position that's set up by God. And part of what he expects out of me is to be a leader. And so my greatest need is to be followed. If I'm not being followed, I have a hard time. That's exactly where Tony taught last week about submission and authority. You got to have them both. You got to have them both. The next one, a greatest need. I need to be respected as a man. Men, shake your head. Yeah. Yeah. You need to be respected as man. And you're not going to be respected as man if somebody else is wearing the pants. I paraphrased once again. Excuse me. Number three, you need to be believed in as a leader. He needs to be believed in as a leader by you, wife, woman, daughter. So he needs to be believed in. You know, not just lip service, not eye service, but truly believed in as a leader. Those are the three needs. So to be a helpmeet for him, your responsibility is to follow his spiritual leadership. Look in the next verse. Wives, submit to yourselves and to your own husband as unto the Lord, as unto the Lord. The next verse says, the husband is the head of the wife. The head of the wife. Keep your finger here and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Just in case you're thinking I'm making any of this up, okay? 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. God has an order, okay? Look down in verse 8. It says, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. There's the definition of a help meet for him, okay? Now go back to Ephesians. Ephesians 5:23, 22 said you're supposed to submit. 23 started off, it says the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husband. So you're to submit. He's your head, and you're supposed to be subject to him. But the key to every bit of this is up in verse 22, where it says, "Wives, submit yourselves to the Lord." Look at this. "As unto the Lord." Submit yourselves to your husbands, your own husbands, as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. I've just shown you the Bible, and it's serious as it can be. These are not suggestions. These are not suggestions. This is what God wants. And a lot of people have died, and this thing has, we could go through a lot of Bible history to have it here on this pulpit this morning and in your laps. And so I take it seriously. This is what God wants. He wants you to minister your husband's greatest needs, and these are the things that you got to do. Now, Brother Benny, I got a lot of this stuff out of some of his literature because he's really, really well versed in this, and he does a lot of counseling with men and women that are having trouble in their marriage. Okay? When they come in and he sees that, he asks the lady a question, and I'm going to ask the ladies a question right now. And I'm going to ask the same question that he does. Ladies, do you feel responsible to your husband or for your husband? Ladies, do you feel responsible to your husband or for your husband? You say, what is this for? Because I really don't like that two thing. Being responsible for your husband is when you take, I guess you could call it ownership. You take responsibility. When your husband's successes and failures become yours, then you've got a personal interest in the game. You got a dog in the fight, okay? And that's not bad in general, but here's where it goes. If my wife has the checkbook and makes the entries and balances the checkbook at the end of the month, there's a difference between that than she controls the checkbook. A lot of women shook their head on that one, okay? And there's a lot of men in here there is a difference. What she has done when she is in control of the checkbook is now she's the authority here. And she has taken it from the man that has the authority. Now, I know, men, a lot of you, it's easier to shuck that off and say, I'm not good with numbers and da-da-da-da-da. You're responsible for that checkbook. You're responsible for every penny in there. And when the wife is in charge or in control of this because she thinks you're too big of a dummy and she wants to make sure there's plenty of grocery money and things in the bill, so she does it instead of you, that's when you take responsibility for your husband. Another example, Maureen gave me permission. Raise your hand. Okay, this is under permission. Maureen had 9 children, and she had been a widow for 9 years when we got married. Okay? I had been a widow for about 5 with 2 children. Well, the Brady Bunch on steroids came together. Okay? Now, all of a sudden, I walk into a house where she has had to be the authority by being a widow for 9 years. She's had to make decisions. She's worked close with pastor so that she tried to have some kind of headship over her. But she was used to calling the shots, not only on her own, but with her children. Now Randy shows up, and I really believe that God put me in charge of that place. And what a chore I had. And she, like I've said before, she's Irish and I'm German. We had fights that you had to bring a lunch to. Okay? And it finally, she will profess to this. It finally got repaired the day when I finally realized in the screaming, I told her, the problem is you don't trust me. And God used that because it was true. She didn't trust me with her life. She didn't trust me with the money. She really didn't trust me with the kids. She had taken ownership on those things, and I was a nice guy and everything, but I wasn't going to go there. I believe we got a lot of that in this church. We got a lot of that in this church. We got a lot of that in the world. I don't know why it wouldn't be in the church. Okay? Truly, if you can answer that question this way, if you answer the question, I feel responsibility for my husband, then you got some issues you need to work out. If you want to be a biblical help meet for him, the answer should be, I feel responsible to my husband. To my husband. That was the second point. Minister to his greatest needs. Number three is reverence him as your spiritual leader. Oh my. He's got a divine position and I'm supposed to buy that. And now you're telling me to reverence him as a spirit. You're in Ephesians, look in Ephesians 5:33. This stuff is too good for me to make it up. Okay? Ephesians 5:33 says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." To reverence just simply means to revere or respect his authority. Okay? As a helpmeet for him, fulfilling those three needs that I mentioned before, to be followed, to be respected as a man, and to be believed in as a leader by you. To fulfill those three needs, it will help him become if you fulfill those three needs or work on filling those three needs, you're going to help him become a better spiritual leader that God intended for you. And you'll improve your unity in your marriage. It improves these things. See, God set up this institution. He set up an authority. And having the faith to believe that he knows what he's talking about, the proof is in the pudding. And until you get there and try to work on these issues and try to make these things happen, you won't see it. And the problem is we walk by sight instead of faith, and so we won't do it. What I'm pleading with you to do is, this is God's truth. Step out on faith a little bit and try to do something here. I've got some suggestions here. I've got five suggestions, things that you can do. Or the question that I would put to you instead of Benny's question at this point, the question I would put to you is, do you or can you do the following things? Number one, pray for him. Pray for your husband. Pray for your dad if you're still under his headship. And I don't. And I have seen. There's a difference between praying for your husband, and praying against your husband. Okay. Husbands, you're normally privy to the wife's prayer on your behalf. But I don't even have to go into it, but you can pretty much guess that she is just like you do, proclaiming her side of this story and the situation and how she would like it to turn out. Praying for your husband is praying for God to give him the wisdom and the direction to be able to make good decisions concerning that thing. Praying for your husband, praying for your father. What that's doing is you're showing God that you trust in him to work through your husband back to you. And that's God's system here that he's set up. And when you pray against your husband, you're trying to say, okay, you know, you agree with me. We got to do something about this guy, you know. So you really need to straighten him out. That stuff, I don't believe that stuff gets outside of the ceiling. I really don't. But truly, one of the things, if you want to be a good help meet for him, pray for him. Pray for him. Here's number two. Reassure him that you trust God to work through him and that you see evidence of it in your marriage. tell him you respect his authority because it comes from God. That's all the same point. If you've never done that, and it's truly happening in your life, you need to verbalize it. Because I'm telling you, I'm a man up here with these same three needs. And if I hear that, that really does a lot to build my leadership, build my trust that God is really helping me get something done here. The whole thing is better. Do you shake your head if you heard some of this? So the first point was pray for him. Second point, reassure him that you trust God to work through him and that you see evidence of it in your marriage. Tell him you respect his authority because it comes from God. Number three, express words of trust. I'll give you a few examples. How about this one? I know you will take care of us. You always have. Men, how many of y'all would like to hear that every once in a while? Well, there's three hands in there. That's good. Rest of you are afraid to raise your hand. How about this one? I know that God gave you to me. You remember back in Genesis chapter 2? God created the woman, and what did he do? He brought her to him, brought her unto him. It is a real blessing when you hear those words. I know that God gave you to me. Number four, encourage him during the dark days. We all have them. A little light from your smile goes a very long way to encourage him. That's a help meet for him, ladies. Number five, seek spiritual counsel from your husband. This strengthens your relationship and, listen up, husbands, it compels him to get in the Bible and to be a good example to the family. Amen. Let me read that. Let me read all these again because I really believe you need them. I need them. Every man in here has those needs up here, those greatest needs. Number one, pray for him always. I'll add that. Reassure him that you trust God to work through him and that you see evidence of it in your marriage. Tell him you respect his authority because it comes from God. Express words of trust, such as, I know you will take care of us, you always have. Instead of, I know you're a bum and I'm going to take, no. I know that God gave you to me. Words of trust build his ability to lead. Encourage him during the dark days. We all have them. A little light from your smile goes a very long way to encourage him. And then finally, seek spiritual counsel from your husband. This strengthens your relationship and compels him to get in the Bible and be a good example to the family. Now, there's nothing there that is hard to do. If you're able to do these five things, you are on your way or have arrived at being a good help meet for him. But like everything else in Christianity, this is not a get here, check the box, and move on. This is something that needs daily, hourly maintenance. Men and women. This is something that needs to be worked on constantly. Let me just review the points here and then we'll shut it down. To be a helpmeet for him, you need to focus, number one point, you need to focus on your husband's divine position. It's not near as funny as the first time I said it when we started. It truly is. It's a divine position. God has set this thing up. And he put, whether you like it or not, he put that man in charge of it. And so it's very, you know, we scream and we plead with the young people in this church to look to God when it comes to this marriage thing. We pray and we hope that each one of these young adults, they'll spend all their time making them a good spouse instead of looking for the right spouse, that we'd be way ahead. Way ahead. But God has set up three institutions, and every one of them, He divinely put somebody in charge of it. And we take it awful lightly. We do. Point number two, minister to your husband's greatest needs. That's what a help meet for him does. Those needs are to be followed. God put him as a leader. You need to follow. Be respected as a man. There's not a man in here that doesn't appreciate being respected as a man. And to be believed in as a leader by you. By you. And then the last one is reverence him as your spiritual leader. And to do those things, pray for him, reassure him that you're trusting God to work through him to you. Express those words of trust. Encourage him when the days get dark. And seek your spiritual counsel from him. That'll make him get up off the couch and go get in that Bible. Okay? I hope that's a blessing and something to work with on you. I really do. I know it's worked on it with me. Father, I thank you for the opportunity. What a blessed opportunity it was to look in your book, pull out the truth, and be able to say the words, Lord. I pray that, like I started, that your Spirit will do a work in here in every place that it needs to be worked on. And I pray that you'll help each one of us live up to our obligations in this, and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.